This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is first-time novelist Luke Geddes, author of Heart of Junk. Welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
What's happening as your novel opens up in Wichita, Kansas?
Well, there's a number of conflicts sort of boiling. The first conflict is at this antique mall in Wichita, Kansas. Like a lot of these antique malls across the country, there are different vendors who run different booths, and there are certain rules for what kind of items are allowable in different areas of the mall. So this mall's Hall 1 has a policy that you can't have items that were manufactured after 1989. So they want to have a cutoff of what's truly vintage and truly antique in that area of the mall. There is an old mainstay of the Heart of America Antique Mall named Margaret. She's the eldermost dealer there. And she's sort of like the sheriff of this western town of the mall. And she notices that two new vendors are moving in named Seymour and Lee. And they have a lot of junk. They have a lot of kitsch, you know, a lot of that sort of trashy old toys and stuff like that. And among that detritus, they have an MC Hammer doll, which Margaret knows to be made in, I think, 1991 or 92. So it's breaking the rules. So she is outraged by this, and she really wants to sort of take over the mall and enforce stronger policies. So she's fighting with those two. And then at the same time, the mall itself is in dire straits. It's owned by a married couple, Keith and Stacy Stoller. And they've been losing vendors over the past few years. Some of the hallways and some of the booths are kind of abandoned, and they don't know how they can stay in business. But luckily, there's a reality TV show visiting the mall, and they're visiting malls across the country, these two TV hosts, and they're going to invest in their favorite antique mall so they could potentially sell or get some money from this TV show. So they're trying to sort of hustle and put things in order so that they can impress these TV people. And then the sort of third strand of all these conflicts that come up in the beginning of the novel is there is a missing sort of toddler beauty pageant princess named Lindy Bobo, and mall is somehow involved in that, and people at the mall are trying to help recover this missing girl. So we have a small conflict about the MC Hammer doll, we've got sort of the medium financial conflict, and then we have the urgent conflict of a kidnapping.
Why Wichita and why an antique mall?
To me, Wichita and my life is synonymous with antiques and antique malls, because when I moved to Wichita to do my MFA at Wichita State University, for whatever reason, I got really into shopping at the local antique malls, and there were a lot of good ones in the area. I think part of it was that growing up in Appleton, Wisconsin, I was into punk culture. I would go to the thrift stores every weekend throughout high school and college. I would hit up every single thrift store and see what kinds of weird things I would find and that would call to me. And then when I moved to Wichita, Kansas, I found that the thrift stores just couldn't measure up to those back home in Wisconsin for whatever reason. But I found this sort of alternative outlet of like an even more curated and even more eclectic mix of stuff at these different antique malls. So I didn't feel like there was a lot to do in Wichita, but one thing that I did do and sort of all my friends in the MFA program got invested in were these antique malls.
When you were writing your comparative literature PhD dissertation, did you already know you were going to write a book like this?
I think so, yeah. By the time I was in that step of the PhD, I was in the middle of the novel, and I had sunk enough time and effort into it to be able to really feel like, you know, I might as well go all in, whether it turns out well or not.
Currently, what's your day job?
My day job, I teach at a small liberal arts college in Kentucky outside of Cincinnati named Thomas More University. And I teach in the English department there, and I'm sort of your utility player. I can teach creative writing, composition, different forms, literature, etc. I'm a team player that way.
You're a collector yourself?
Yeah, I collect a lot of sort of different things. Most of the characters in the novel are very focused on like one particular type of collectible. But for me, I more go in cycles. Like I'll be really into one thing and then I'll sort of change my approach later on. So I collect things like pinback buttons, old pulp paperbacks, Marx figures, which were these sort of dull-looking toys made in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, shaped like army guys or like spies. Halloween decorations, vintage Halloween decorations, vinyl records. For people who read the book, of all the characters, my interests are most like Seymour and Lee. And I think that's probably, most people would probably guess that.
You have, is it 1,000 final records?
I'm not sure what the exact number is. I mean, in some ways that makes me proud to hear 1,000, and other ways it makes me terrified, because how do you have time to listen to all of those and fully appreciate? But I have a lot. Yeah, I definitely have at least near that range.
Do you listen to them?
Yeah, I definitely do. There is certainly, like, I mean, like any collector, I think you always sort of reach a point where you sort of go off the deep end, and it becomes not unmanageable, but just hard to keep track of everything you have. Where, you know, I'll go to a record store or a record sale, and I'll like pull out a record and I'll be about to buy it. And then maybe at the last second, I realize, like, wait a minute, I think I might already own this. But the good thing about like vinyl records, as opposed to some other types of collectibles, is that they're so slim, you can really cram a lot into a small amount of space. So it's not as, you don't have to pay the price as much in terms of filling up your house.
I guess that is an issue, filling up your house.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I guess I'm just sitting here thinking I wouldn't know how to keep all that straight, but you've figured out a way.
Yeah, I mean, I think and the book is certainly about this, like there's definitely a range of, there are certain types of people who are just, maybe they're natural minimalists. They just don't like to have a lot of stuff. Often these people are drawn to living in bigger cities where they're going to have to live in smaller apartments with fewer things around. And then there are people who are definitely drawn to accumulating things for whatever reason, usually some kind of sentimental reason, people who collect whatever. And then obviously we can get sort of the furthest end of the spectrum would be like psychologically diagnosed like hoarders, where it's not that they're curating a bunch of specific things that they like, that they're just keeping and obtaining and holding on to everything.
Do you have any words of encouragement to all those collectors out there who've been told maybe they should downsize?
Yeah, I would say stick to your guns there. But there was a time before I moved to Wichita to start my MFA. I had a pretty okay record collection, not as big as I have now, but it was one that I built up over the years since I was around like 15 years old. And for some reason, I went crazy and I just thought, like, this is too much stuff to move all the way to Wichita. You know, record collecting is my old hobby. I'm a writer now. And I ended up selling most of that record collection, and it became one of my biggest regrets a few years later. I think I didn't realize like I would live long enough that I would probably return to my old hobbies. So a few years after that, I think I got the record collecting bug all over again, and so I was tormented by all these thoughts of, oh, that rare record I had once upon a time, I let it slip out of my grasp. But thankfully, I think for the most part have rebuilt that original record collection and then some. So it's all worked out.
Thank you. My guest is Luke Geddes, author of Heart of Junk, published by Simon & Schuster. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.